Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic. There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Powerful mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 56.
Trying to find a number.
I found one.
Or today we're going to talk about a famous snowy reptile behemoth.
Ooh, the snow asset?
No, but pretty close.
Oh.
It has a card in it with the old MetaZoo collection.
Ooh, okay.
Any guesses?
Not yet.
People at home, do you have a guess?
Well, before you announce it, do we have any... did we have any new... I've noticed over the past week where our Facebook group has like...
Gosh, no, yeah.
Something happened.
500 or 600 people joined.
Joe, it's just shout out to Joe. Big shout out to Joe. He donated some special items to the Shack guys, the guys over at the Shack. So they're very thankful, Joe. They wanted to pass along that message. But Joe shared this post on our page that exploded.
Yeah.
But everything exploded from that. So, mm-hmm. Joe, thank you, I think.
Yeah.
I think you did this.
I think he did, too.
So, yeah.
I've seen it had 2,500 views.
No, it has like 5,000 or 6,000 likes or something like that.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
It was something nuts. So, Joe.
Maybe that was shares I was thinking of.
Maybe that, yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what happened, but
I'm
Joe.
I'm pulling it up.
Well, we really appreciate you.
1.5 shares. 691 post reactions.
Dang.
691,000.
That's a lot.
691,000.
That's a lot of post reactions. So, Joe, I don't know what
500 comments.
Magic you got, but you got it. Keep on posting. We love it. But no, Joe, seriously, thank you. I don't think we gave you enough... thanks or praise for what you sent us, just so you're aware. We're very appreciative of you. Also, Jamboree is coming up soon, guys. October 4th. If you want to come see the speakers or come see us, again, well, the speakers, there's a ticket involved. You can go to cryptscorn.com to get your tickets, and that involves all access to all the speakers' talks, which include Connor Alex from the Cincinnati, the zoologist from Cincinnati Zoo, Ron Murphy from just author Ron Murphy from all sorts of TV shows and whatnot, and just awesome dude, Ron Murphy. He's going to give us a lot of folklore when it comes to this Bigfoot and Sasquatch phenomena. We've got Randy Bauer, who has a property up in Minnesota with very active sightings and just activity galore every single day. going on up there. And then the newest speaker announcement, which, yes, go ahead.
Tony Merkel will not be at least speaking at the Jamboree. He's going to try to vend, but he probably won't be that either. If anybody didn't know, Tony Merkel from the Confessionals, his wife's been going through cancer this year, and he's made that very public. And they
right.
The timing just isn't going to work out for this year for certain things.
Yep.
So Tony is going to take some time and stay with his family, like he should.
Yes. Like family first. And that's everybody at home. Family.
Always family first.
Yes. Always.
So Tony's not going to speak this year, but now you go, Jay.
Okay. But filling in his shoes, an artist, a friend of the show. I just don't know where to start. He does so much. I'll just get to it. David Hardy. We're announcing David Hardy will now be our fourth speaker for the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. David is an amazing just human being overall, but he's a great speaker. He's a great public speaker, and he's captivating. What?
Nothing. He is.
He is.
He really is.
He commands a crowd.
He reminds me of a certain public speaker that I was going to say one that I'm not going to.
Kenneth Copeland?
Yeah, sure. I don't know who that is.
That's the bad... that's the preacher guy that says, God says I need six planes.
That guy scared me.
I know, he's so scary.
I'm a Christian. David's the opposite
of that man. David's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, literally the opposite.
You guys all know we're Christians here. That guy scares me.
Because he's scary. You can see, like, the devil in his eyes.
Yeah.
Kenneth Copeland, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but David Hardy, yeah.
He is so passionate. He's such a great speaker.
Author, illustrator. Amazing mind. Yes, yeah. Amazing mind, great
Cryptid Empire t-shirts.
Great family man, great, I don't know. I have nothing negative to say about David at all. Zero.
A bunch of my 4-H kids took pictures of him this summer.
Did they? Why?
He was a speaker at the Christian Youth event.
Oh, okay.
And basically one of the girls took a picture and he was in the back and I seen it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I know that guy, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you don't. Like, so I sent pictures of like me and David and you doing stuff. Like,
yeah. David's awesome.
Because what is it called? Like the One or whatever. It was in Indiana. It's a big Christian youth conference.
I don't know.
But he was one of the headliners for that.
Okay, awesome. And now he's going to be at the Jamboree October 4th. Get your tickets to see David.
Yeah.
And the tickets also include a Friday night just dinner with us.
Buffet, pizza buffet.
Yep, we'll be putting it on. Maybe I'll make some special, extra special stuff. I don't know yet.
I want
maybe I'll make the
french fry pizza.
Ooh, I can make that. That's no problem. Maybe I'll make some more soup. If you guys want homemade garden fresh tomato soup.
That's what we're having for lunch today.
I love making soup. There's just something about it.
Okay, this is 6 minutes about nothing so far.
Well, these are important things people need to know.
But yeah,
it's Wednesday episode. We're getting all the info out.
Coming to the Jamboree.
Oh, and no, we'll save it. Other big things are coming.
We'll announce that already.
Well, maybe I'll announce it at the end of this episode.
I just realized I got to save that box.
If it's not public already on our social media, so check out the social medias to see the big news. But yes.
The Beaver Run Snow Gator.
Oh, okay. Beaver Run Snow Gator.
Yeah, there's not really a lot to this.
Okay.
But it makes me laugh. Because this happened in 2011 and the reactions of it. But it's gotten some notoriety. If anybody didn't know, and we're going to talk about like Lake Erie. How many gators have we seen in Lake Erie this year?
Two or one?
It was two.
Two, okay.
But they've been seen multiple times. There are two gators in Lake Erie.
Okay.
And then there's been, we'll talk about alligators. I love alligators. If it's not legal in our state of Ohio to own them.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, this is definitely a big animal I would have.
And you know, you're hesitant about me getting a chow. You want an alligator.
Well, I'm not going to let the alligator roam around.
You don't know how they can do.
But no.
They find a way.
Alligators, out of all the crocodilians, they're actually not close related to most of the other living crocodilians today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're kind of the last of a different offshoot of crocodilians. And if you, physically, they do look very similar to crocodiles and caimans and all that. But when you really look at their behaviors, they're very different than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very different animals. For one, like I said, the only real... I've been around alligators in the water my whole life. And work and before that and everything. The only ones I've ever been scared of, and I mean actually like scared of, is in Florida near tourist areas.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get hand-fed and then they come up. They are very powerful, strong animals. And if you change their behaviors, then they become very scary.
That would be called habituation.
Yes. The same thing with, you know, talk about Bigfoot and other cryptids and that kind of stuff. And that's when you get outbursts and, you know, violent tendencies. I watched an alligator try to eat a lady in Blue Springs because she was sitting on her nest and she kept getting closer and closer in a kayak with this alligator just hissing and wagging its tail.
Giving all the signs of stay away.
And everybody's yelling at her to back away from it. Because this was kind of a famous alligator. She always put her nest right there. And there's like an observation area right behind it. So it was really cool for the park because you could watch the whole process all summer.
Right.
And they eventually had to put her down because a diver swam up to her. And she ate the guy.
Oh my gosh.
Because her nest was right there.
Yeah, shouldn't there have been like...
In Florida, it's a no tolerance policy.
Well, I mean, shouldn't there have been like major signs that said like, you stay away?
It's about 10 foot wide, and about 4 foot tall.
Oh gosh.
And it's a giant white right behind the alligator.
Yeah.
Stay away.
And the guy swam right up to it.
Yeah. So he, yeah. And he got eaten. He was from Ohio.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Respect nature.
Mm-hmm. So in September of 2011, security personnel at Westmoreland's County Beaver Run Reservoir in Pennsylvania spotted a 5-foot-long alligator swimming in the reservoir's northern waters.
Ooh, okay. Pennsylvania's not far.
No, it's right next door. Municipal authorities of Westmoreland, County Manager Chris Kerr, was understandably concerned and contacted the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission, but was told not to worry about it.
Uh-huh.
So you call the Fish and Boat Commission, and they're like, don't worry about it, Chris. It'll be fine.
Right.
Our security people spotted an alligator about a month ago, and we haven't found it yet, Kerr said at the reservoir in October of 2011. We contacted the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission and asked them about it. They said it's not common for for some pet owners to leave their reptiles in the water once they decided they don't want them anymore. Public safety is not an issue, according to Kerr, because the fenced-in reservoir is off-limits to the public anyways.
Okay.
So it's what he was just saying is,
no one should.
It's not a swimming pond. It's right. Not a fishing reservoir. You shouldn't be there.
Correct. He's not wrong.
So you can't. It's not like it's in the public pool.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that would be quite the spot to dump it.
And then they said, it's not... Oh, sorry, I already spread that part. Not at public safety. It's off limits. It isn't close enough to any residents' homes to create a real danger either of attack, he said.
Okay.
Initially, no plans were made to look for the creature. The commissioner officers believed that the often harsh Pennsylvania winters would kill the out-of-place alligator.
Okay. No spoilers. Maybe they should have consulted anybody that knows anything.
So... Eric Leaves, the spokesman for the Fish and Boat Commission, says this. Because they're not native to the area, it just won't survive. It's far too cold, and the alligator's not meant to survive in any kind of coldness.
Okay, sorry. No spoilers.
That is the spokesman for the Fish and Boat Commission for the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he should stick to fish and boats, not large reptiles.
Local woman, Kendra, didn't like the idea of the lonely alligator freezing to death in her neighborhood, which I get. Because that's what they told her was going to happen. She's going to die. So she's like, well, that's horrible. Just go get it.
Don't tell me she went and freed it.
No, she started a local Facebook campaign to gather public support for people to go get it.
Okay.
Like, to either pay somebody to come catch it, because it's just like, well, that's horrible. So, you know, if it's somebody's pet they threw in there.
Oh my gosh! You know, I don't know what's about to happen, but I'm imagining at this point in the story that this alligator was probably going to be best left off just in the reservoir. No one bother it. But continue.
So here's what Kendra says: it's a cold-blooded creature. They have to have warmth. They shouldn't just be left out there to die. That's animal cruelty. It's the same as leaving a dog out there to die. Which she's not wrong.
I guess so.
She's just a public lady that just doesn't want them to just let this alligator die. No, that's what they said.
I get it. It's just, it's sentiment towards animals. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
She's just like, go catch it and give it to a zoo.
That's why I like when information gets out and it's public information and people just automatically take it on face value being true, especially when it comes from an authority figure. This is how things can happen.
So municipality authorities were initially reluctant to allow any rescue operations.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, we don't want to do this. Citing they're worried about safety. They don't want anybody in their reservoir because of safety issues.
Well, I mean, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. But eventually, they basically said, fine. They partnered with the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium to search for the alligator.
Oh, okay. At least they got, it's not like just some backwoods.
They got the Pittsburgh Zoo to come out. And yeah. Like, they have alligators. We go look for this alligator.
Know how to handle them.
15 people in 4 boats searched the reservoir in late October looking for the lost reptile, but turned up nothing say a few alligator tracks.
Hey, they're on the trail.
It's late October when they started looking. In Pennsylvania.
Oh. So
the alligator...
It's cold, is what you're saying.
The alligator was never found. But that doesn't mean it didn't survive through the last winter. The winter of 2011 in Pennsylvania was particularly mild, and experts believe that it could survive. That they're just like, yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna be fine.
He's fine.
Oh, I bet that cop is just, or not the fishing the boat spokes, guy.
The spokesman.
Pulling on his shirt collar.
Henry, I can't even try to pronounce it, curator of the Pittsburgh Zoo a Reptile House, said this is the mildest winter I can remember. In order for this creature to die, you would have to have some substantially cold weather for an extended period of time.
Right.
So he's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he runs a reptile. He's like, yeah, the alligators can handle the cold. This winter was not nearly enough to kill it.
Right, yeah.
I would say it's entirely possible it survived, Henry stated. The lost alligator soon took on a legendary status as part of the local lore, and according to retired Penn State New Kingston professor Judy, people call it the Loch Ness Monster. Most people around here think it's just cruel to let it out die in the winter, and they really hope it survived. However, municipality authority, I can never say that word, security personnel swear they haven't spotted the alligator.
Swear they have not?
Yeah.
Okay.
And people with binoculars saying that they can still see an alligator in there are lying.
So it's in the reservoir still, right?
Yeah. So this started, bless you, it started in 2010. The last official report, bless you again, by security was the spring of 2012.
Uh-oh. That's 2 years later, right?
Yeah. So okay. It survived 2 winters.
Okay. So it's still going.
Yeah.
Or at least at 2012.
So, legendary alligators. And this is it. That's it for the short story.
Okay.
It just kind of took on some local fame as the snow alligator. It's kind of what it's called. Like I said, it had some MetaZoo cards and some of the other like cryptid games it's made it into. But alligators in North America. Let's talk about that, because that's really why I brought this up. I know it was short. But it was fun.
Yeah.
Like you've been alluding to, and even the Henry, and I can't pronounce his last name. It looks like it's a Czech last name.
Okay, you want me to try?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just don't want to turn the iPad around.
That's fair.
No, but, you know, he even said, you know, yeah, alligators can die in the cold, and that is true, but it takes some substantial extended cold periods, and if they make their dens, they can, it's like it'd be in an underground, you know, right, that's how mammals do it. It's warmer.
50, 60 degrees.
Alligators, so let's talk about their native range.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
D.C. politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
So before the damming up of the Ohio and Mississippi River, alligators were not strangers to Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and West Virginia.
This was their home.
They really didn't leave the main river branch, so they wouldn't come up here where we live in Ohio. Not saying it's impossible for them to, but they really stayed on the main river. And this was either so they could go back down south when it did get cold, or they just had a lot more availability for bank space and stuff like that to dig their big alligator burrows.
Okay.
They literally call them alligator holes down south.
Mm.
So what they do is they basically dig down, they start digging underwater, and then they dig up to air.
Okay.
And they actually create a burrow like that.
And it's right on the bank of the river, right?
It's in the, it's under the bank, but they can be pretty deep and buried in there.
Mm-hmm.
So in dry seasons, crocodiles, which are cousins of alligators, will actually do this in large groups.
Okay.
So there may be a hole that has 15 or 20 big crocodiles in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they, you know, they alligators can kind of do that too. It's not as common for them to be more than one in a big hole.
Uh-huh.
But if they're close to the same size, sometimes they will pile up in there.
Doesn't they change the rivers by doing that too?
Yes,
like
yeah,
slowly?
Yeah.
Like
it'll cause bends there because it'll cave in and cause a water bend.
And then eventually you may get an oxbow lake in a couple of
hundred years.
Yeah, generations.
But alligators are quite adapt at surviving. They've made it through several mass extinctions and minor extinction events. They can go long periods of time without food, and they're one of the few crocodilians that specialize in prey animals smaller than themselves.
Okay.
So that's very rare for crocodilians.
Right.
Almost every other crocodilian on the planet, the other exception is gharials, which are the rarest crocodilian, but...
Ooh, even rarer than Cuban?
Yeah.
Cuban crocodiles, as you can see on Freaky Fauna Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll every Friday.
We should do gharials, too. Yeah, so... Alligators were native, so I just want to make that point. So the Columbus Zoo leaves their alligators out pretty much year-round unless it's going to be extremely bad.
Yeah, then they, I mean, yeah, fair enough.
So I knew one of the zookeepers there, and they left them out most winters. They let them naturally do their own burrows. They had basically a box that they would kind of let them go into.
Right.
Like structured. That they could dig
out.
Enrichment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they would survive. So if anybody's here around... I'm sure you've seen the video of alligators sticking their nose up and letting it freeze over them and stuff like that.
Where their nostrils are out of the ice.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is an emergency condition. That is not the normal. That is not how they survive most winters in northern climates. But if they get caught in a spot and they know they're not going to make it to the den or to a place where they can stay warm, they'll do that.
Does it, they go into a stasis or a brumation?
It's called brumation.
Okay.
Where they, I think they, it's down to 3 or 4 beats a minute, their heart.
What's the difference between brumation and hibernation?
Mammals hibernate.
Okay.
There's more differences than there's a lot.
Right. But that's
essentially, they are the same result.
Yeah.
The biological processes that go into them are very different.
I guess I was going to ask what's that, but.
So metabolism rates.
Okay.
In reptiles and so no matter what, you can slow down the metabolism of a mammal.
Okay.
But you still have to maintain a body temperature.
Okay.
Reptiles are ectothermic.
Right.
So they get their externally. They get their heat. So they can even drop even further. So brumation is more closer to death. Hibernation, and depending on what type of hibernation, there's many types of hibernation, is more like sleeping.
Deep sleep. So hibernation is like a deep sleep. Brumation is you're
death.
Turning everything off.
You're dead.
You're just, the vitals are staying on life support.
Mm-hmm.
And just barely running enough to keep everything alive.
Here's how brumation is different. That turtles, for example, some turtles will brumate on the bottom of ponds.
Mm.
They're air breathers.
So they just hold their breath?
Yeah.
Wow.
For months.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like turning your computer on standby. Instead of turning it completely shutting down,
yeah.
So you put it on standby.
It's pretty much death.
Yeah.
Brumation.
It's off, but it's not off.
There's tons and tons of biological processes is different. But hibernation, you either got to put on a lot of fat.
Yeah.
Because you're still maintaining a body temperature. You're still having biological
processes.
You're
just taking a really big, long nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, like Brumation is just like, you're dead for 4 months.
You turn the computer on standby, it's still got power running to it, but it ain't on and ain't functioning. And you ain't doing nothing with
That's
it.
That's a very simplified version.
Yes.
Of those two processes.
The layman's term. The Crypts of the Corn version.
But, you know, because there's a step-down process. Like, it's a lot of reptiles. And have you ever had a hamster?
No.
So a lot of hamsters in the U.S. get buried alive every year.
Because people think they're dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because hamsters naturally go into hibernation, whether it's nice or not.
Wow.
It's just a part of their life cycle.
Have you seen that video of that hamster? It's like 80 years old. Not literally, but...
No, but yes, it looks like...
It looks like a little old man. Yeah. But how long do... Hamsters don't live that long, right?
I think 3.
And there was like 8?
Yeah.
It's like... And it was still wanting on the wheel?
I mean, rodents can live, comparatively a long time, but it's not like...
Yeah. It had like 4 hairs on its head. Mm-hmm. It's walking on the wheel. It's like a little old man.
So alligators. Lake Erie right now has alligators in it. It is becoming, I believe, more of an issue.
Are they breeding?
I don't think yet, because they're pretty small.
Okay. What's the issue?
They're not supposed to be alligators in Lake Erie, and there's alligators.
Well, I mean, what's the issue with that?
A new apex predator into an area?
Exactly.
That's why our lions loose.
Imagine if they did, though.
Breeding? So
it would decimate the walleye. Like,
I don't want to mess with the walleye. It wouldn't? No, because, I mean, they'll eat walleye, but it... I think it would mess with a lot of shoreline birds and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. They're more of the target, I guess. Yeah,
especially for younger alligators. They eat a lot of birds. Mm. A lot of nest, like, they'll eat, and then Lake Erie is a huge nesting ground for shoreline birds. So all those birds that come out of the Gulf,
yeah,
that's what they're running away from is alligators.
Okay. Now they're finding more alligators.
That's why they breed up here and then they go back home.
Makes sense.
It's not just alligators. It's all kinds of stuff. But,
right. But that's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are gators being spotted in Lake Erie, and everybody's like, don't worry about it, because they'll die in the winter. Now, you guys know that's not necessarily true.
Right.
Now, if we get one of our old Ohio winters around Lake Erie, it'll kill them. Because Ohio's kind of the borderlands of what they can survive and what they can't.
Okay.
So, the Ohio River Valley winters, I fully believe... Most 9 times out of 10, an alligator can survive the Ohio River Valley winters. The Lake Erie winters, a bad one, I don't think they're living through it.
Okay.
I think it's just going to get too cold because they can't freeze solid. So you still have to maintain like 30, let's say the bare minimum is 33 degrees.
Right, yeah.
And maybe they could even drop down to 32 for a short period of time inside their bodies.
Does their blood have like some, or yeah, blood have some kind of antifreeze in it?
No.
Okay. Don't some animals have that, though?
Yes.
Okay, thought so.
There are a lot of reptiles and amphibians have that.
Just not alligators.
Not alligators.
Okay.
So I think that we've had mild winters for a while. I think if they can establish even deep enough dens, there is a chance we could see an alligator nest in the next couple of years because they were both about 5 or 6 foot long.
Uh-oh. I imagine at some point someone's going to... catch him.
It depends. So there are some substantial wetlands around Lake Erie. Uh-huh. If they go back into them, nobody goes in there.
True.
They could have a nest. It's like the emus. The emus in Michigan where 8 got out and they caught 40.
Yep.
Then somebody just shared to our page.
Yeah.
There's more wild emus.
It's in a picture of it on the road, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Where they DNR said they caught them all.
Yeah. Caught all of them.
And you see how quickly like Muscovy ducks
reproduce?
Yeah.
So, wait, what'd you have, 20 back there?
22 hatched out of one time.
And you thought it was just 10 at first.
I thought
it was 10. Yeah. Double. Well,
I didn't know how many eggs. She had eggs underneath eggs.
Yeah, she was sitting on all of them. Yeah. That's awesome, though. You found you got a broody, you know, Muscovy hen. Because, I don't know, it's just fortunate. But yeah, that's awesome. And how are they doing? They doing good?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen them since that day when they had them. But is there any laws, like if, let's say I'm out on Lake Erie, we're fishing, you know, for walleye this next summer, and we see out in the lake an alligator surface.
Okay, I'm not a legal expert.
I don't know where that line was drawn.
So I'm going to say I don't know the law for that, because you just can't shoot them.
Can you run them over?
That's animal cruelty.
Oh, okay.
So they do fall under, like, animal cruelty, like you... Yeah, you can kill an invasive species, but there's still rules about it.
Right.
it's, you know, there's, because there's humane rules. There's humane ways to kill an animal versus inhumane. Like running it over is inhumane with a boat.
But if you take a samurai sword and you just lean off the side and get the whole head in one shot.
You can call the DNR. They'll tell you it'll die in the winter.
Yeah, exactly.
But we recently, in the last 5 years, had a Nile crocodile loose in Ohio.
Mm.
And that was in Yellow Springs, which is down by Dayton.
Yep. I know Yellow Springs very well. That's where I got my chows from.
Yeah. So Yellow Springs, there was a bunch of kids playing in a creek. It's like a family campground area. This just happened. It was 9-foot Nile crocodile. It would have eaten every one of those kids.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad. How'd it get there?
Well, they were playing with it, and it was trying to eat them. Like, you know, it was kind of trying to eat them. It was definitely hand-fed for a long period of time.
Okay.
Because it was, like, taking halfway swings at kids and stuff like that, and the kids were just, like, throwing rocks at it, whatever. And they kept going up to their parents saying, there's a crocodile down there. We're playing with a crocodile. And everybody's like, no. And then one of the dads finally like, all right, let's go see this crocodile. Holy smokes, there's a crocodile.
It's big.
And it's in a little creek.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the cop came, and he was kind of like, yeah, there's a crocodile down there. And I think he probably thought it was an alligator. And then he seen it was a crocodile, and he shot it dead.
Yeah. I mean.
And then he apologized for shooting. He's just like, I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah. What do you do?
And it was a pet. It was somebody's pet they let out. It just got too big to take care of.
Gosh, just let it out.
You can 100% tell by the behaviors it was doing and stuff like that. It'd been a pet for a long time. So let's talk about, we've done a lot with the pet industry. I hate the government regulations on 9 times out of 10 things. I'm a big believer that you should do whatever you want to do. And I believe that for most time with owning animals. I do think you should have permits for some animals. I do think the permit should be easy to acquire. But dangerous animals, and my beliefs is, I think the permit should cost about what it takes to take care of one for a year.
Yeah.
And that's just so you can financially prove that you have the means to support the animal. Big animals eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They need a lot of security. Like, because you can't let the Nile crocodile get out and eat the neighborhood kids.
Right.
Or a panther or whatever.
It very easily happen.
Yeah.
I'm sure it has.
And for the animal welfare.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you run your own fish farm or bait farm or whatever, you open yourself up to DNR inspection at any time.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the rules you sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that should be also for the large animals, large predatory animals, specifically large predatory animals. Like, I don't think you need a permit. Like a water buffalo, I mean, they're dangerous, but so is a cow.
Yeah, it's same playing field. Yeah.
A tiger, though, is a little different.
It's different than a goat.
Yes. If a tiger gets out, it's going to eat people.
Right.
Or it can. Not that it's going to. It can.
If a goat gets out, it's going to eat your yard.
Mm-hmm.
A little different.
So Indiana has pretty much no rules. Ohio has way too strict rules.
And Indiana's the opposite.
And Indiana's the opposite. Michigan, in my opinion, is a pretty good middle ground.
So we got all three right here in our little corner of the...
Yeah, Pennsylvania is pretty strict. Like, oxalates, they just now finally started letting people sell oxalates again in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow, okay. Why'd they stop that?
Because they were on the endangered species list, even though they're all captive bred.
What the heck?
It's just...
That's like the opposite, though, to save them is you can't have them anymore.
So they were just doing blanket statement laws.
Mm-hmm.
If it's on the endangered species list, you're not allowed to have it as a pet. You're not allowed to have it state lines. It's a federal crime now if you transport it over our border.
Oh, wow.
And so it went from... And then I think finally they've got enough backlash where they're like, well, that's just not rational.
No. Especially when their habitat is your house.
So,
that's their habitat.
So I was selling oxalates at a reptile show in Indiana. And there was a guy that had a sign. I've shared this story before. I'll share it again. There's a guy that had a sign. He just had a white table next to me. And he put this little paper sign out that just said, alligators, $100 a foot.
Yeah.
And he didn't. I'm like, there's nothing else on his table. Nothing. I'm like, what's
just
that?
Just the sign.
Then he goes out and he starts bringing in alligators that he's got taped up and hog tied, laying them on the table. And that's how he was selling them. And he sent them to people. It was on the Ohio border,
like,
but it was Indiana.
Electrical tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is crazy. So yes, I do think you should have a permit to own an alligator, but I don't think it should be illegal to own an alligator.
Yeah.
Because out of all the crocodilians, alligators are probably the most docile. None of them are docile. But out of all the crocodilians, they're the most docile. I've done a lot of work with caiman. Caiman are friggin' nuts.
Oh, yeah.
They're high energy. They're small. I'd rather deal with a 12-foot alligator than a 4-foot caiman.
Hmm.
Because, I mean, even though if you mess up with a 12-foot alligator, it's going to kill you because there's the bite pressure,
right.
You know, the power.
Like Joe Dirt.
But they're slower. They're less reactionary.
Yeah.
They're more predictable. Caiman are just like, ah!
What was that alligator on Joe Dirt? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
When he worked at the alligator farm?
Let me look.
And he shoved, like, he has a cigarette in his mouth, and he shoves his head in the alligator. Now, you don't normally do this. And it clamps down his head and starts shaking around to toss him. I just thought that scene was so funny because I can see that happening, especially down south with the guy doing it, having the cigarette in his mouth at the same time.
I'm looking it up. But yeah, gosh. So I just wanted to bring, I know it's been like a little short episode with a lot of us talking, but I just see it so often that, like you even mentioned this episode, that somebody from like the DNR or the Pennsylvania Boat and Fish Commission, which I've never even heard of before this, will tell you, well, it's just too cold for that to survive.
Right.
Oh no, the emus would die in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
All, you know, all this stuff. And it's just, frankly, not true. But then you have somebody that from the same state as Pennsylvania, the guy that runs the reptile house.
Yeah.
Came out and said, yeah, yeah. If it's a super harsh enough winter, they'll die.
Mm-hmm.
But the last two winters have been extremely mild. I don't think he died.
I think it just goes to show you kind of always need to seek a second opinion on things, or just understand that not everyone knows everything all the time. Like we always say all the time, I don't know nothing. I don't.
It's a saltwater crocodile.
Okay. It's clamped on the Joe Dirt's head.
I don't know a lot. I really don't know a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know more than I know.
I don't know more than I know.
Yeah. I don't know. No, there's more that I don't know than I do know.
Right. So, right. That makes sense. It's just scrambling my brain.
But especially when we're talking about cryptids and all this stuff, is that in Michigan, I don't think they're going to survive an alligator. I mean, maybe towards the border, the Indiana-Ohio border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. So, a lot of pets, a lot of people buying alligators.
Yeah.
A lot of people probably regret that pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
When it gets to be about 8 foot, it's like,
even quicker than that. When it goes from being the babies, because they buy right. so many babies, to... And then, so you get these established hidden populations, and alligators can be pretty secretive. I mean, in these little lakes and stuff, so I do believe that the ones in Lake Erie, they have a chance. I mean, if we get another harsh winter in the next couple of years...
They could.
It'll wipe them out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking...
Maybe they have a big on. Oh, what if they got into the cave system underneath Lake Erie?
They don't even have to do that.
The salt cave mine. They live there in the winter.
How about Bessie? South Bay Bessie.
Yeah.
The nuclear power plant.
Oh, okay. Just live in those waters.
Yeah. They're like 90 degrees in the winter.
What you doing in my waters? I'm just an alligator. It's the only place I can live.
Yeah, that's another thing. So like striped bass in Ohio River.
Huh?
In the winters, they all pile up in the nuclear reactor's water outfall because it's so hot.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I'm sure they don't get anything accumulated in their bodies.
At least, not radiation.
I mean, sure, there's nothing, though. I'm sure there's zero.
I don't know about anything.
I'm sure there's nothing, anything at all. Swimming around those waters.
Yeah, the water's fine.
Yep.
Jump on in.
I'm sure it is.
So, yeah, I just want, you know, when you guys go out and people, just don't take somebody's word. Because this reminds me so much of the Mothman stuff. When the first guy was like, it's a sandhill crane.
Gosh, or a weather balloon, or an experiment
that
balloon.
Was a janitor that ran a science club.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the DNR itself coming out and saying it was a big sandhill crane.
Right, yeah.
Like an owl. Just say it was a great horned owl. It's
much closer.
It's the shape.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
Because sandhill cranes have a little bit of red flesh underneath the eyes.
Right, yeah. Okay.
You can see at night.
Mm.
And they're 6 foot tall, but they're thin.
Yeah, they're wafer thin.
Anyways. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this episode. I have been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
I've been JClone56.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the JClones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun and informative information.
Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.